Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. Merry Christmas Eve. If you're listening to me during Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, first of all, let me say thank you so very much. I love you. Second of all, you chose me over Mariah Carey for the next 45 minutes. That is very brave of you. But I promise I will do my best to not disappoint you. And so today's episode is going to be a little gift from me to you. No coaching lessons. Let's keep this non-coaching vibe going. I kind of like it. Just me opening up and answering some questions about who I really am, what I'm about, and letting in a little more.
This is a little gift from me to you, and no better gift than to let you in and have a special guest come join us. Say hi, Julian.
Hi, Daddy.
No te lo comas. That was Julian for all of you. That was him saying hello. He's dressed in a skeleton outfit because he does not like Christmas outfits. He likes Halloween outfits, FYI. A little... maybe my baby's a little emo. Is that, could that be it? Is he a little emo? Back to the episode. This is the version of me you'd get if we were sitting on the couch, probably in pajamas, maybe with a drink in our hand, and absolutely oversharing, which is what I love to do. What do they call it? Like anxiety mechanism or something like that? Like oversharing is something you got to work on. I spend a lot of time being the strong one, the one who figures it out, the one that holds it together, the one that just keeps going. And today I just want to be me. I just want to be real, honest, human. So consider this episode unwrapped, no filter, no perfection, just truth, stories, and maybe a few things I'll regret sharing later. But we're here now. I'm going to answer some of the questions that you guys submitted on my Instagram. Whether you're listening alone, hiding from your family, or driving somewhere you don't really want to go, you're not alone right now. You're here with me. So grab a drink, take a breath, and let's get into it. Welcome to Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and I'm actually holding the mic today. If it sounds different, let me know. Some of these questions are funny. Some of them are a little, and I will be reading, so I'm not looking at the camera. That's why. I'm going to try to post this one, all of it, for you guys as well. We have something new coming, a new Substack, where I'm going to be posting the entire video of every podcast episode. So let's get to know the unicorn Q&A. First question says, who actually is Vanessa when no one is watching and the mic is off? She is a Latina, a little heeled bumblebee that loves to be free and that is like a dreamer. She's like, has these weird, crazy dreams, whether in real life or at night when she's asleep. If you know me, you've probably heard some of my dreams. I think I'm just a dreamer. When I'm awake, I dream when I'm asleep. I dream about amazing possibilities. I'm a lover. I'm a mother. And at the same time, like when a bird breaks its wings and they tape it back up so it flies, I feel like both my wings are taped, but I'm still flying. That's how I see myself sometimes. Oh, okay. Let's not get too emotional just yet. What's something people assume about you that's completely wrong? That I've always had it together. That I'm not scared. That I don't get embarrassed. I think people think I've always been so confident. You're just so confident. I could never. It's like no one can do it until they do it. Babies are not born walking. They learn how to walk. What part of your personality took you the longest to accept? Oh, wow. That I am a slow learner. That I do need help with certain things. And allowing myself to receive the help that I need, whether it's from my partners or from school. I had extra time in college to take exams, but I didn't want to use it. I felt like I was less than or weak if I did. I am okay with it now. I'm going to take advantage of all the help that I can get because it's okay. It's there for a reason and I deserve to be helped. These are tools that God gives me that don't mean anything, good or bad. They're just tools. I had to learn that just like money. I was afraid of receiving money because I was afraid of receiving things. It's just a tool that God put there for me to take advantage of. Not misuse or abuse, just for me to actually receive. And if I can't receive these little things like help or extra time on a test, how am I going to receive genuine love and all the amazing dreams that I dream about? That really taught me to stop saying no to things and know that I like to be taken care of. I like to be loved. I love gifts. I used to think my love language was acts of service because I was always like, if you help me clean the dishes, then I will have less to think about, like less pressure. But no, I actually like nice things too. I do like gifts. And it's okay. It doesn't make me greedy. It doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me selfish. I'm okay with gifts. Here's another one. What's one thing about you that makes you laugh at yourself? Everything. I laugh at myself all the time. I misspeak words a lot of the times. And the word that sometimes comes out, I just laugh at myself because it's like, where did this word come from? As well as, I think I'm not funny, but I try to be. And I'm kind of like an airhead. That goes with the last question. That's a personality thing. I think it goes with my personality. I am bubbly. I am very smart. And I think Kim said it better. When you're thinking that I'm dumb, I'm thinking that I'm putting you together. And so that's like, anyway, but yeah. So yes, I'm an airhead. And then what version of you would 20 years old Vanessa be shocked by? Oh, wow. She would be shocked by the fact that I love to be a mom. 20-year-old Vanessa would never, ever consider herself a mom. She would never even hold a baby. So yeah, I think the fact that not only am I a mom, but I love it, I think that 20-year-old Vanessa would be like, there's no way. And we're going to go into this section is called Heart Healing and Real Life. What heartbreak changed you the most and how? The one that changed me the most would definitely be my divorce, because it came with a baby. It wasn't just me being heartbroken. It came with a whole different life that required me to level up, that required me to not only mature as a mother, but mature as the way I break up with someone. Like, I can't just never text you and never talk to you again and then just go about my merry way. Like, no, I still have to be able to co-parent with you. Co-parenting really taught me a different level of resistance, like restraint and patience that I never thought I could get to. But I like it. This one says, what did rock bottom teach you that success never could? That no matter how messy and broken and ugly you think you are, you can always come back from it. For me, rock bottom was in the breakup. Rock bottom was my first time in a mental hospital alone in the dark after cutting, trying to battle that urge, the tendency, even the comfort that it gave me to cut or to snap a rubber band. That rock bottom, which is, like I said, it sounds horrible, it's ugly, it's very, very messy, but that taught me that even if you crumple a $100 bill, throw it in the trash, step on it, and wet it, the value is still $100. That's never going to change. What's a hard truth you avoided for years? A hard truth that I avoided for years? Apparently that I like men. Not men themselves, but that I love masculine energy. I'm not attracted to a feminine energy. I'm not attracted to the girly girls. I'm the girly girl. I have friends that are girls. I guess that I'm attracted to a masculine energy. A hard truth. Let's see. Or I think I'm still avoiding it. That me and my family, that we are all at risk of becoming alcoholics simply because my father was an alcoholic and he passed away as an alcoholic. I think that's another hard truth that I try to avoid, that I think I can control, which is honestly that we can all become alcoholics. maybe me more than others because of the history of it. And that still scares me. These are a little hard. These are harder. What's something you healed from that people don't see anymore? The cutting. I'm glad that my son will never see that version of me, because that version no longer exists. My Xanax, my depression, my anxiety. I think it's still there, very, very minimal. Depending on what's going on, everyone's going to have a little bit of ups and downs. But for sure, my son will never see the version of me that cuts. Ever. What emotion do you still struggle with sometimes? Oh, acceptance. Loving myself. Believing that I am valuable to others and that my services deserve to be compensated. Meaning, I know I bring an amazing service to the people that I help. I just have to be okay with taking their money. I love money and I can say it, but when it actually comes to people paying me, sometimes I feel guilty, and that's something I still have to work on every day. It's an even exchange because I am going to deliver more and above than what the price tag is. Ooh, we're going to go into all about healing, heartbreak. Oh, here's one. How's the divorce going? The divorce is going great, if you ask me. It's taking longer than I would like for it to be done. I'm still not divorced. Officially, we're still finishing some stuff. I'm hoping by the end of January, everything is done. When it comes to our child, the time and our, what is it called? Like when you, like co-parenting agreement and schedule agreements, like all of that part is great. I think we're doing a great job at showing up for our son the best way we can. That's all I can ask for at this point. But other than that, yeah, it's great. We're not divorced yet. Hopefully by the end of January. One question was, when are we going to go on a date? When you ask me on a date. When you ask me on a date, we can figure that out. As of now, I wouldn't know. You've never asked me. This one says, you didn't walk for the Virgin Mary this year. Are you planning on doing it next year? Yes. I am definitely planning on doing it next year. As long as I am not pregnant or handicapped, I will be walking for the Virgin Mary. This year, we didn't have it because of the ICE rates and everything that's going on. So I made the trip to Mexico City. If you haven't heard, listen to the previous episode and you'll hear all about that trip. But that is where I was. Instead of doing the walk, I really wanted to show my respects and honor because of everything that she's done for me. I would definitely be there next year. And keep you guys posted if you're in my Virgen de Guadalupe chat. Let's go into what's something you've learned about love the hard way. What is something you've learned about love the hard way? You can't make anyone love you. You can't make anyone love you. And some people will be in love with the ideal of you. But if they try to change you, or if you keep arguing about simple things like your personality, then they don't really love you. They love the ideal of you. And as amazing as the person might be, you just have to let them go for your own sake and for theirs. I tried to bend left, right, back and forth for people, and it was never good enough because it wasn't me. And they didn't really love me. They loved the ideal of me. They loved like the benefits of me. And that sucks. It sucks when you realize it, like, dude, you really don't love me. You just love what I've been able to do or what you think I should be doing, things like that. Like, that really, really sucks. What's your big red flag? What's your big red flag? Be honest. I don't want to be anyone's wife. I don't want to be anyone's wife. At least not right now. Maybe someday. And what I mean by that is when you sign up to be someone's wife, you're signing up for all of it. The relationship, the ups, the downs, the cooking, the cleaning, whatever that person needs, you are signing up to say, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. Whether I like it or not, whether I want to do it or not, I'm going to show up and do it. Some days you're going to need more than what you can give. And I'm going to be okay with that because that's what a wife does to me. A wife shows up, loves you unconditionally, and is there ups and downs, good and bad. And right now, I don't think I can, I don't want to do that right now. I have other priorities. I don't think there's a lot of people out there ready to be a wife or a husband in return. They want to be in a relationship, but they don't want to show up as a husband or a wife. And I heard another girl say this. Her name's Sarah Fontaine. She has a great podcast, too. She talks about, there's a lot of things I don't agree with her, but there's a lot of things that I do agree with her. And one of them is that a lot of girls nowadays want a husband, but they don't want to be a wife. Like, you want someone to take care of you and pay your bills, and, you know, you just want to show up and look pretty. And yes, that's part of being a wife. You should show up and you should look pretty and you should keep yourself together, because I would want my partner to do the same. But you also have to be ready to cook, to clean, to a certain extent. I mean, I'm sure they can cook and they can clean as well, but, like, you should also be able to show up the feminine energy of a wife that is needed for the relationship to work. Like, in my household, I didn't have to worry about rent. I didn't have to worry about any of the bills. I didn't have to worry about anything. But just like that, my partner never cooked. My partner never had to worry about grocery shopping. My partner never had to worry about any of that. Because that was me. That was what I brought to the table. I cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I made sure she has snacks. I made sure the apple was peeled because she wouldn't eat it if it wasn't peeled. Little things like that. And I didn't mind it at all. I loved it. I woke up when she woke up, even though sometimes I didn't have a job. I woke up when she woke up. I went to bed after her to make sure that her meals were ready for the next day. Like, certain things like that. That is what I consider a wife. Because I had a partner who showed up as the masculine, and I never had to worry about it. That's what I meant by it. Did I go off on a rant? Probably. So I guess my big red flag would be that right now I truly say I want love, and I do. But I don't want to be anybody's wife. I can't. I'm not ready to show up that way for you. What's your biggest green flag? When I am ready, I will be the best fucking wife ever. When I love hard. Like, hard. I will make sure. When you have all this love, te nace hacer las cosas. It's easy. In love, it was easy for me to cook. It's easy for me to clean. I really want you to try this, and I want to make it for you because I want you to feel the love that I have in this, like, meal that I made. I will be your ride or die when that time comes. I think that's my green flag. I'm also very independent. That could be a red flag, though. I've learned that I like my freedom. Not in a sense of, like, but in a sense of, like, I'm going to visit my family whenever I want to visit my family. If I want to travel, I'm going to travel with or without you. Normally, when I'm in a relationship, I don't want to go without them, but I'll do it. What's something you used to tolerate that you absolutely won't now? Maybe, like, going against my slight little comments against my morals and values, such as I'm not about our president. I've never been. Ugh, this man is just disgusting. Now we can all see it through everything. My ex-partners, for example, would be like, oh, I'm going to vote for this orange man. And I'm like, why? He obviously hates Mexican and I'm Mexican. Like, why would you vote for this person? Oh, because of the money. Like, what? Before, I used to think, like, us not being on the same political party or us not having the same views on certain things was like, whatever, you can think whatever you want. I can think whatever I want. We're going to be fine. That is something I will not tolerate anymore. If you still back this person up, to be exact, to this orange, disgusting man, and all his values and morals and the way he talks and the way he thinks and the things that he is doing to my community, to Hispanics, to people that look just like me, we are not going to date. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. We can talk. I can be civil. I can be respectful. But me taking you serious or considering you as someone I could potentially date, there's just no way. Because if you don't like where I come from, if you don't like people that look just like me, my tías, my tíos, my grandparents, how in the world can you say that you love me or that you want to be with me? It just doesn't make sense. That's something I thought I could get over and dismiss. But especially with everything that's going on right now, con más ganas me aferro to support my people, where I come from, what I look like, what I stand for. Yeah, that's a non-negotiable. Let's go towards the next question. What makes you feel the most magnetic and confident? I find that when I'm in the zone where I'm talking about what I believe in or when I'm in the middle of like a coaching session or in the middle of showing someone or doing something with my hands physically, I'm all about it. When I work out, I love working out. When I go to the gym, get home, shower, get ready, eat something healthy or delicious, and am in my feminine energy, that's where I feel the most confident. Working out, getting ready, and helping other people see things differently. Showing other people a different view of whatever problem they have. I love helping people with that. One of the questions I got was, what is your ethnicity? I am 100% Mexican. I know that I look very Asian, Filipino, mix. I've gotten a couple different things. But I am 100% Mexican. My dad was from La Ciudad de Mexico. He was born in Tepito. And he moved to Michoacán, where my mom is from. My mom was born and raised in Jiquilpan, Michoacán. So, yeah, 100% Mexican. I think, though, my grandma from my dad's side, my dad's mom, my grandma, mi abuelita Sira, I believe she must have been mixed because we get our eyes from her and the nose. I have one picture of her. She has this beautiful, naturally curly, beautiful hair. Con unos ojos chiquititos like these. And a little button nose. So I think 90% of the time, I'm pretty sure it's from her. We get all of these beautiful features from her. That's my ethnicity. Do you like sports? Yes, I love sports. I love watching sports. But only some sports I can watch on TV, like football. I love watching football. I don't like watching soccer. Football Americano, I do like to watch. Football soccer, I do not like to watch on TV. Maybe I'll watch it live with a drink in my hand, but other than that, no. Right now, I'm watching the NFL. And I think I told you this, but yes, the Cowboys are my team. However, you know what? The more I've been watching, the more I connect with my Mexican roots, my heritage, and the way companies and the government and other teams actually support us Mexicans, I think I like the Niners. I think I've said that a couple times. I'm like, am I a Niners fan? I don't know. Someone help me. But for sure, I'm a Dak Prescott fan. When did you stop people-pleasing and start choosing yourself? After I had my baby. The most significant time for me was as soon as I became a mom. Or even when I was pregnant. When I was pregnant, I was like, I'm not putting up with anything that makes me uncomfortable or angry. At all, with no regret too, because I used to feel guilty about things like that, but no guilt, no shame, no nothing. I was like, nope, not about it. Cut off. And I felt so good doing it. And I feel like I've gotten away from that because my natural persona is to like be kind and make sure everyone's doing good and stuff like that. But no, that's the first time I was like, no, you're not that important. You don't matter as much as my child matters. You matter. But my child comes first. And it was like a no-brainer for me. I can't do it. But yeah, it was a no-brainer. And then especially after that, from there came the divorce. Divorce helped me be even more emotionally strong and trust myself because I had nothing else to rely on. I couldn't ask my partner, what should I do? Because I didn't have one. So that's when it happened. What's your favorite villain era moment? Getting an attorney. Unfortunately, getting an attorney, yeah. I knew that they were gonna be upset. I knew that they were gonna not understand. I knew that they were gonna take it personal. But I realized that it wasn't, I know that it's not. It was never meant to be. I just learned that I had to protect myself because if I didn't, nobody else would. And I thought that they would still have like, I don't know why, so that they would have me in their best interest and they would want the best for me and my son. And I'm sure they do want it for our son, but not necessarily me. So I had to literally step up for me. And I don't regret it. It's been challenging, but at the same time, it's made things a lot clearer for the other party. So they know for a fact that you can't take advantage of me anymore. In any sense or any way. So what boundary changed your life? Not hanging out with everyone. Like, not just because you ask me to go out with you, am I going to go out with you? Or not spending my time with people that don't deserve it, in a sense. Whether it's my mom or my sister sometimes that, you know, hey, right now I don't feel it, I'm not going to go. I need to protect me and myself, my brain, my energy, so I'm not drained, so that I could show up as a better person and a better version of myself for my son. That's my priority. So, yeah, not feeling guilty if I'm not there, not feeling guilty if I don't go. I do communicate it. I always talk like, hey, by the way, this is going on. I'm not going to be able to make it. Not beating myself up for it or making me go places that I feel like I don't want to go, but I go anyways. There has to be a reason. I have to want to be there. There has to be something that calls me to be there. Sometimes it's for fun. Sometimes it's for a purpose. Sometimes you just don't know, but I have to have a reason to be there. I don't want it to just be soul draining. And learning to say no to things like that. What would you tell a woman afraid of being labeled too much? Who cares? Too much for who? Who's labeling you? Yes, you're too much. Okay, I get it. But who said it? What are they doing? Do you want to trade lives with them? If you had the possibility of switching lives with that person, would you do it? If the answer is no, then their opinion does not matter. Keep going. Because to them, you might be too much, but they're just not enough. They are not doing enough. It's like you're not going to take money advice from the homeless guy, just like you're not going to take weight or health advice from a unhealthy, overweight person. You're just, it would not make sense to do that. Don't take it from, like, you can hear them out, but I would say that's not a reliable source. It's just, yeah, you're too much to them. That's fine, because sometimes there's a lot of people out there that they're not enough for you. Okay, let's make it funny. What's a chaotic or funny moment in your life that still makes you laugh? Every time I say crazy stuff, and not crazy in a sense where they're bad. For example, when I moved to LA, my cousin and I were driving around. She was driving us. I think we had just gotten food or something. We're driving back home and it was late at night. I had probably been there for like maybe a couple weeks. I like finally moved to LA. And I'm looking out the window and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm just still taken back because I live in LA now. It's a big city. And I'm like, I never thought I would, you know, live in LA. And then I'm just in my brain thinking, I live in LA, it's a big city, it's beautiful. But the words that actually come out of my mouth are something completely different. So I look at my cousin and I'm like, oh my God, Melissa, I can't believe sometimes that I live in New York. And I was totally serious, it was quiet. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I live in New York. And she's like, what? She's like, yeah. I'm like, it's so surreal, it's so awesome. She's like, we live in LA, girl. This is Pico Rivera. She was like, where are you? And I started laughing because like, oh my God, yes, that's what I meant. That's not at all what my brain was telling me. Yet I told her a completely different version came out of my mouth. Same cousin. Back in the day when we used to have iHomes where you put your iPod in and they play your music. Her sister's iHome actually like broke. I don't know. It just stopped working, like because it was in the shower. So obviously all the steam and stuff like that, it just stopped working. And so she's like, oh, the iHome broke. And she's like, I'm going to throw it away. I'm getting a new one. And I was like, wait, no, don't do that. Let's just take it to the mechanic. Oh, they can fix it. And once again, they both look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, you know, I'm sure the mechanic can fix it. I meant to say the appliance store. So if you ever hear me or talk to me in person and I say something ridiculous like that, just know that my brain is still processing and I'm going to get the right word eventually. yeah, they'll still make me laugh. What's something you love that people wouldn't expect? Mustard. I love mustard. I love mustard on everything. On my white rice, on my eggs, on my quesadillas. Definitely on hot dogs. Pretzels. Sandwiches for sure. I can't eat any sandwich without mustard. Watermelon. I don't know if you guys saw that watermelon mustard thing going around, but it's really good. I love it. I also love true crime, but I think people know that. What is your toxic trait? I will ask you the same thing over and over again, even though you already told me, and even though I probably remember, I will probably ask you again. And it becomes annoying. I don't know, is that toxic? Is it a toxic trait? Or but another toxic trait that I have is I love the strip club. I really enjoy... Okay, hear me out. I really enjoy strip clubs. They're so much fun with friends and just have a good time and support the ladies that do such great acrobats. Like, they have to do some cool tricks. If you look amazing and you can do a trick, take all my money. I love strip clubs. I like to see beautiful women dance on poles. I think that could be a toxic trait, right? Okay, let's move on. What's your guilty pleasure? In what sense, I would say, food-wise, I don't know, do I have a guilty pleasure? Espresso martinis? Whiskey sours? A glass of wine every night? That would probably be my guilty pleasure. I'm not really a sweets person. I don't like chocolate or candy like that often. Lately, I have been enjoying all kinds of wings, like buffalo wings, barbecue wings, things like that when it comes to food. Other than that, drinks at lunch is my guilty pleasure. Champagne, Moet to be exact. I don't like the other orange one, the Veuve Clicquot. I really don't like it. But a nice Brut champagne for brunch on a Wednesday, I think would be my guilty pleasure. What's something you're currently obsessed with? I am currently obsessed with the calamari from this restaurant called The Hideout on El Paseo. Obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. I don't think I'm going to be able to get it tomorrow because it is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But yeah, I think I've been having it like once a week for like the last month. Sometimes even twice a week. If you like calamari, I'd recommend it. It has these little... chilito speaking in like sprinkled on top that just my mouth's watering. Yeah, that's my guilty pleasure right now. And you have to get their margarita with it is just perfect. So now we're getting close to the end. I got three questions left. Let's see which ones. I got five because I just got another one. One of them was, what is my favorite food? And it has to be sushi. I love sushi. I love anything sashimi, yellowtail. Yeah, sushi especially. I really do enjoy Nobu. Even if it's like all of their sashimis and their octopus tiradito style. Oh, that's just... my mouth is just water. Water, like, it just makes your mouth water. And then the other question I got was, what is the first thing you notice in a person? And what... do you find attractive? And I think for me, it's just their energy, the way they present themselves, the way they speak, the certain words that they use and how they carry themselves in a crowd says a lot about the person. So I would definitely say just their energy, their aura, the way they show up. Yeah, I think that's the most attractive thing of anyone is their energy and their aura and the way they present themselves, as well as the way they speak and how they are able to control themselves in certain situations. It says a lot about someone's character. Okay, let's make it a little Christmas ending. What are you deeply grateful for this year? I am honestly grateful for all of you guys that are here listening to the end. I'm grateful for my family that has held me down through this roller coaster. And just being healthy and appreciating that we're still here. Like knowing that anything's possible. What are you calling in for the next version of you? I feel like I need to step up and learn to receive better. Appreciate when I get paid. In a sense of I deserve it. I'm providing a service and they're better off paying me. Because they're going to get so much more than what they're actually paying. What do you want your listeners, aka unicorns, to remember about themselves? I want you to remember that everything you need is already inside you. You were born with it. You just have to
learn to listen to yourself. Everything you're looking for is inside you. Everything. You're perfect the way you are. Even if you don't like yourself right now, you should still love yourself, be kind to yourself, and learn to listen to your gut. Everything you're dreaming about, everything you're wishing for, it's already there. It really is. And learning how to listen to that voice is something I can help you with, but it's something that takes practice and takes work. Don't get mad at yourself if you don't figure it out overnight. It's okay. You can never get it wrong. If this episode were a gift, what do you hope people feel after listening? I hope they feel like they just had a great conversation with a friend. I hope they feel like they got embraced with a big hug and they just feel so much more connected with me. In a sense, like, oh, I get it. I've been there, or I'm going through it, and I know that I can come out at the end better than before because it's doable, it's real, it's possible. Now I get it, you know? Like, now I get her, or me. I guess a sense of understanding of belonging and love. That's what I want from this. It's just a big hug, a warm embrace, a little distraction from all the family drama that we all have sometimes. I hope it made you laugh. No crying this time. Just a lot of laughter. Realizations that anything is possible. Literally, I used to be locked away in a mental hospital, not once, but twice. And not knowing if I would ever get better. But I'm here now. It's possible. It's doable. All because I learned to listen to myself. All because I learned to discover the strength that I had within me this whole time. Like I said, sometimes we can do it on our own and we can find the strength on our own, or God will show you the strength one way or another. There's no escaping it. You have everything you need inside you. I promise. So, once again, Merry effing Christmas. I love you guys. You guys are a gift to me as much as I hope this is to you guys, because I've been able to heal so much of what I've had inside me for so long with these couple episodes so far. Can't wait. I'm excited for 2026. I'm excited for what's to come. I'm excited to hear from you guys. And I want to bring you other stories of other strong, beautiful women out there. So I'll have some of those lined up for the coming year. Okay. Well, have fun. Don't get too drunk. And remember, unicorns do exist. You're listening to one. Bye.